careful eye that looks at the word and accurately notices that finding out something is what this chapter is all about. In fact, at least 7 times in this one chapter, the word found or found out occurs. The word means to find out the existence of something. And this chapter is about finding out for certain whether or not there's been true repentance on Joseph's brother's part for their sin against him. God will test his family to find out whether or not they have truly repented of their sin. If they have, he will lead them into a new relationship with them and new life. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson said, God will always find our iniquity. Tens of years may pass over your life, and like these brothers, you may be congratulating yourselves that the sin is forgotten and you are safe. And then a train of circumstances, little suspected but manipulated by a divine hand, will suddenly bring the truth to light and write God's sentence in flaming characters upon the walls of the house in which you riot in careless ease. The unforgiven sinner is never safe. If we are truly confessed our sin and have truly repented, we can expect new wonderful blessings. And chapter 44 is a bittersweet chapter. For those covering sin is bitter, for it guarantees God's discovery. For those confessing sin, it is sweet, for it guarantees God's blessings. So after a member of God's family has sinned, God will put him through a major final test to prove whether he has truly repented before he gives his blessing. Verse 1 of chapter 44. Then he commanded the steward of his house, fill the men's sack with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, with his money for the grain. And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. They had gone only a short distance from the city. Now Joseph said to his steward, up, follow after the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is it not from this that my Lord drinks, and by this he practices divination? You have done evil in doing this. When he overtook them, he spoke to them these words. They said to him, why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your service to do such a thing. Behold, the money that we found in the mouths of their sacks, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? Whichever of your servants is found with it shall die, and we also will be my Lord's servants. He said, let it be as you say. He who found what it shall with it shall be my servant, and the rest of you shall be innocent. Then each man quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack, and he searched, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and every man loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell before him to the ground. Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination? And Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servant, both we and he also, in whose hand the cup has been found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. And so the question Joseph is trying to resolve from this test is, how would these brothers react if they thought they were going to lose Rachel's other son, Benjamin? He had already seen that they were jealous when Benjamin was more favored. Now, or that they weren't jealous. Now he was going to see how they would react if they thought they had to turn over to the Egyptians like Joseph had been. Joseph's plan was masterful. He ordered his house manager to fill their sacks with food and money. Putting Joseph's cup in Benjamin's sack with his grain and money would present a problem, because this was Joseph's special cup, which apparently had some religious significance to the Egyptians, although certainly not with Joseph. If this cup were found in Benjamin's sack, it would present a major threat to the brothers. Joseph's house steward did exactly what Joseph requested. He put the things in his sack. He let them go. He followed them and accused them of rewarding evil for good by stealing the cup. The brothers were sure of their innocence, but and that they remind the steward of their honesty in bringing back the money from their first trip, and they offered to have any who stole the cup executed, plus volunteer to be slaves forever in Egypt. What irony this is, for in that scenario, with Joseph, the only son blameless is Benjamin, who wasn't even with the other brothers. And in this scenario, the only one guilty is Benjamin, who was with his other brothers. Benjamin was the blameless one who is guilty, and his brothers are the guilty ones who are blameless. He is the marvelous picture of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Verse 11 informs us that men quickly opened their sacks in chronological order, and when they came to the last sack of Benjamin, that cup was found. Verse 13 is critical, for it shows us all the brothers had repented. They all tore their clothes, and they all headed back to see Joseph. As soon as they returned to Joseph's house, they, for the fourth time, fulfilled biblical prophecy and bowed down before Joseph. These brothers at one time had scoffed at the idea of bowing down before him, and now it had become a regular part of their lives. Joseph asks if they thought they could get away with their sin. Judah responded that God had found them out. A true mark of repentance is that one is willing to pay back exactly what he did to another. Verse 17 informs us that Joseph dismissed all charges against the guilty brothers. After a member of God's family has repented, his speech and life will demonstrate it before God gives his blessings. Look at verse 18 of chapter 44. Then Judah went up to him and said, "O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my Lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead, and he left alone of his mother's children, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him.' We said to my Lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father, for if he would leave his father would die.' Then you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again.' When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And when our father said, 'Go again, buy us a little food,' we said, 'We cannot go down. If our youngest brother goes with us, then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that your wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, "Surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. Now, therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, will sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became a pledge of safety for you, the boy, to my father, saying, "If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see evil that would find my father." So this is just a beautiful passage of true repentance. At one time, these brothers thought about executing a brother, and they were willing to sell him as a slave, but now Judah is willing to sacrifice his own life so that Benjamin might be spared. Judah had dramatically changed. He humbled himself before Joseph. Judah informed Joseph that Israel so loved Benjamin that if he did not return, it would kill him. Judah cared more about his father's life and Benjamin's life than his own. He offered himself as a substitute. It's no wonder that Jesus Christ came through the line of Judah. Substitutionary sacrifices are not foreign to this tribe of Israel. And for many years, the family thought their sin had gone unnoticed, but God had kept records, and even though it took 27 plus years, he tracked them all down. Truth is, this family had changed. They had honestly repented, and God was about to bless them for it.